Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast. It's Monday, the 20th of March, 2023, as we begin National Agriculture Week. I'm Andy Eubank, and the HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Coming up today, Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller with the news, including stories on an award-winning Indiana farmer and saving a bit of money this planting season. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with plenty of sunshine and a warm-up in the Indiana farm forecast. And the corn and soybean and wheat markets had a mixed day Friday. We have settlements and Brian Basting analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hard-working. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
An Indiana farmer and a CoAlliance employee sharing a top award and some tips for saving some money this planting season. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today, brought to you by McDonald's of Greater Indiana and Southwest Michigan. This National Agriculture Week, McDonald's of Indiana is proud to salute the next generation of farmers from the Hoosier State. Well, an Indiana farmer and a CoAlliance employee recently shared a top honor from the Fertilizer Institute during Commodity Classic in Orlando. Randy Bales, who farms in Henry and Rush counties and manages Fairholme Ag in Louisville, received the 4R Advocate Award from the Fertilizer Institute and shares it with Eric Steigerwalt with CoAlliance for their partnership to put fertilizer management practices into place that improve sustainability. What are some of the practices that Randy uses on his farm that helped him win this award?
Over the years, we've been fairly proactive on soil testing, looking at nutrients that provide the most return for the investment, using cover crops. We're working with the Nature Conservancy, looking at possibly trying to start a demonstration farm to show some things with nutrients entering into the water, different types of products that can be used to help minimize that.
Eric says he gives a lot of credit to Randy for the award.
I'm very proud of Fairholme Ag and all the things that they're doing, and I'm grateful that they get to be recognized for all the things that they're doing the right way. It's an honor to just get to work with people who are progressive, that are trying to do the right things, and we can learn from them just as much as we can provide things to them. We can take it to other growers with the successes that they're having.
Randy says Eric and his team at CoAlliance have helped make his farm operation a success.
Yes, I'm pleased with the way the co-op system and Eric works with us and going out of their way sometimes to provide us product when we need it. They've also had answer plots that they've used in the past and continuing to use that, you know, we can gain some data from, some research from them, from some things we may be looking at and to try some things new.
You can learn more about becoming a 4R advocate, just like Randy Bales and Eric Steigerwalt, at NutrientStewardship.org. You can also read more at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, it's getting closer. We'll be planting soybeans before you know it. Eric Pfeiffer shares how you could save a little money this planting season.
I remember when I first got into the industry, we were planting 240,000 seeds per acre.
And that's NK Seeds agronomist Ernie Newquist, who says you can save a bit of money by ratcheting that number down.
With the research done by independent sources and universities, you can knock that back to 175 down to 140,000 plants per acre and generally be very, very safe and maximize yield.
Newquist says with corn, it really depends on what hybrid you're dealing with.
Whether it's a fixed ear or to a full flex. So you just got to manage around that depending on that type of ear that you have. You know, I have populations anywhere from mid to high 30s down to, you know, when you get into the dry land scenarios, below 20. So that's all relative, but my recommendation is make sure you know what type of ear you're dealing with and plan accordingly.
For those areas that didn't get these recent beneficial rains or snow over the winter and are still dealing with some droughty conditions, Newquist recommends planting as early as possible to utilize what little moisture is in the soil profile at the start. Speaking of corn hybrids, NK Seeds product manager Matt Dolch says to be on the lookout for their 20 new corn products in 2024. their largest launch class in over a decade.
NK provides industry-leading protection and genetics to prevent against tar spot out in the marketplace. We're excited to offer that in the NK corn lineup. Also, just when we think about our trait packages with genetics, Duracade Viptera providing excellent corn rootworm control and then also broad lep control through our Duracade portfolio, Duracade Viptera trait stack that provides a 4.1 bushel yield advantage against others in the market.
For more information, you can visit nkseeds.com or your local ag retailer. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And I'm CJ Miller. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm radio network.
Your operating loan for your farm needs to cover all that could be. That's why Farm Credit Mid-America offers flexible financing options to take care of the day-to-day so you can free up capital to maximize opportunities for your farm. Use our online banking or mobile app to conveniently check funds so you always know how much cash you have on hand and can plan for what's ahead. To find an operating loan that works for you, visit e-farmcredit.com. Subject to credit approval, additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
And it's always like clean oil because most of my stuff leaks.
So, yes. Yeah.
To agriculture.
We go from the cute and cuddly phase to the not so cute and cuddly phase.
You can cuddle with them at 290 pounds. It's probably against your will, I'm guessing.
And, well, other things.
He calls them all variable costs. That's bull. Not
very. I think you meant to say that's fertilizer, right? Staying on topic, Lynn.
Listen now on all platforms.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Not too shabby here for a Monday, kicking off the work week with sunshine, blue sky, and pretty nice setup overall. Cold Canadian high pressure is off to our east, and so we're starting to see some south winds come up the backside. That's allowing temperatures to moderate for your Monday, and we continue that temperature moderation through your Tuesday. Little bit of change, though, in our forecast as we approach midweek. We have several disturbances lined up to come through here back to back to back. First, we see clouds increase overnight tomorrow night into early Wednesday morning, and that also brings a little bit of moisture. I'm talking about some light rain. A few hundreds to maybe two tenths maximum. Coverage will be about 60% of the state. Clouds then linger through the day Wednesday. I won't rule out some sunshine, but mostly cloudy. And round number two of moisture coming from late Wednesday afternoon, evening on through the overnight. We can see anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch of moisture across the state from late Wednesday through probably midday Thursday. Then we gear up for another round of moisture that moves mostly over the southern half of the state for Friday. Rain and thunderstorms anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 to 2 inches there. Strong thunderstorms possible downstate. And then overnight, Friday night through Saturday, another round of rain shower activity. Tenth to half an inch with coverage around 75% of the Hoosier State. Behind that, much colder as we finish out the weekend Saturday night and Sunday. So, yeah, we've got plenty of moisture coming through. None of it super excessive, but looking at the moisture back to back to back, we're going to increase the sogginess of our soil moisture profile definitely this week. Over the early part of next week, we've got another round of moisture, rain, or maybe even some wet snow. Sunday night into early Monday, the 27th, a few hundreds to maybe half an inch of liquid equivalent, that is all. Tuesday and Wednesday of next week are dry. Late Wednesday afternoon into Thursday, so the 29th into the 30th, we have another round of moisture. Rain showers with a frontal boundary coming through, at least half an inch of rain likely out of that. So again, between now and the end of the month of March, in my opinion, too much moisture coming our way. We are not going to be drying out our soil profile very quickly at all. Now, is it detrimental yet? No, but with the moisture that we're seeing here through the end of the month, it should quell any talk at this point, at least in my opinion, of an early start to our planting season. That's the way things are stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Grains and oil seeds finish mixed on Friday. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Friday Farm Market Review. It's brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, providing quality seed, free delivery, personalized service, and local research data. Check them out at seedgeneticsdirect.com. I'm Andy Eubank, and on Friday I checked in with Brian Basting for thoughts on a wild week. Brian is an economist with Advanced Trading. Settlements coming up too. Brian, as we look back at a very volatile week, including some volatility in the grain and oilseed markets, do we have to talk about bank failures? Is that a big part of the equation?
It's part of the equation, Andy. I don't think we can ignore what's going on with the bank situation. It's a worldwide impact. Anytime you're talking about something of that magnitude potentially impacting the whole banking system, leading, worst case scenario, hopefully not, but to some type of recession or at least a slowdown in the economy. Anytime you're talking about slowdown in the economy, you're talking about impacting demand for everything, including commodities. So I think it's a factor. I think there are other things at play. I think one of the things we're concerned about, growing concerns here as we enter spring, is the demand concerns. We're seeing some weakness, for example, in global meal demand. That $500 meal price tag, I think, got the attention of a lot of users, and they're backing off a bit. The corn price tag has also discouraged users from using as much corn, perhaps, or at least substituting wheat or other alternatives. But regardless, the demand concerns are starting to run neck and neck now, if you will, with the concerns about South America. That's becoming built into the market. We all know that it's a catastrophe, fortunately for the Argentine producers, but we also know that we got some strong record crop coming, bean crop in Brazil, and a strong start for the corn crop. So short answer to your question, it's a factor. We can't ignore it. But there are other things going on here that are weighing on the market, particularly the bean market at the moment.
Yet we do have corn sales and a string of daily announcements of corn sales to China. I believe it's over 80 million bushels now that we know about. So have prices gotten to a point where they're interested?
You summarized that well. We are competitive at the moment. We are seeing a winding down for the moment of the supply availability from alternative sources for China. They're having to turn to the U.S., and we are competitive. So that has helped, as you said, four consecutive days now of flash sales from the USDA. That helps. But I won't ignore also that we are seeing some cracks in the other regions around the world for demand. One of the regions we're concerned about is Western Hemisphere. Our sales of corn to Western Hemisphere, U.S. export sales, are much lower than they were a year ago. So that would be regions such as excluding Mexico, South America, Central America, those regions are down considerably from what they were a year ago. So yes, it's a supportive factor. There, no doubt your listeners have seen that here in the old crop corn price this week has rebounded at least modestly here. But having said that, I think that we've got to be cautious yet about getting explosively bullish on these sales.
You've talked about soybeans and the soy oil and meal markets, and on Friday, a pretty weak day, double-digit losses after a brief blip on Thursday. So really, that's about all that was, a brief blip and then back to liquidation.
The soybean futures market, Andy, as we speak here, is at the lowest price. You have to go all the way back to early January, and it's threatening to take out that. In fact, it just did take out that low. Now we have to go back to mid-December to see soybean futures for the May contract this low. So again, I'd remind your listeners that the bean market has been held up really since harvest by a lot of concern about the South American crop, specifically Argentina. That is built into the market. Now we're concerned about those factors I mentioned earlier, some weakening world demand, a record Brazilian crop slowly working its way into the pipeline. And as we get into April, Andy, it won't be slowly anymore. It's going to be a very rapid turnover into Brazil being the top supplier in the world. So very fragile. In fact, starting to look extremely fragile soybean market as we move into the last half of March here.
Talk about the Chicago wheat market, which has shown some positive movement at times during the course of the week.
Yeah, everything eventually rebounds. You know, this price has gone far beyond what most folks were expecting here. But that is a reminder, Andy, that we got an inelastic good. Wheat is on the way up. Wheat, users do not stop using wheat. It's just a staple good. On the same token, as the market declines, users don't use more wheat because it's just a staple good. So we're searching for demand on wheat. Maybe we found a little bit of interest down here. We're starting to look at more talk this summer, for example, of the potential for a big increase in soft red winter wheat feeding in the Midwest and Southeast, both poultry and hog operations in the Southeast. So that'll be a factor that's maybe given a little bit of support. It looks pretty fragile to me even down here, though. But, yeah, maybe, you know, if the funds get too short now, they got too long on the way up, and that was a washout. But they don't have a huge short position yet, so I'm a little bit concerned that this is not the end of the bearish road for wheat until we find that demand, because we are looking at some wheat prospects around the world at the moment. For the most part, are good. The exception being in Southwest Kansas, Western Oklahoma, very very dry, very bad situation out there. But that's about the only spot at the moment worldwide, Andy, that's in a bad position right now. So yeah, for the moment, maybe a little bit of a short covering rally here. I'm just skeptical of it can sustain itself. The one wild card wheat, though, I'd add is remind your listeners that the Black Sea Grain Initiative expires Saturday. Russia wants it to be 60 days extension. The most others want it to be 120 days. We'll see what transpires in the next couple of days.
Brian Basting, Market Analysis. Brian with Advanced Trading. His number there, 309-664-2314. Friday settlements on the Hatt Farm Market Review. Corn squeaks out a higher close, up a penny and a half on May and July. May ends at 634 and a quarter. July, 617 and three quarters. Down 15 cents on May soybeans, 1476 and a half, and just a quarter of a cent off of a 15 cent drop on July beans, 1461 and a quarter. May contract in the wheat market, 710 and a half, a gain of 11 and a half. The meats, mostly lower. June live cattle, 47 down, 156.40, and June lean hogs, 93.32, 15 cents lower. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm radio network.